right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Wayne Dupree Show. Didn't have to do this for a long time.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wayne's on assignment somewhere, but we'll help carry the load here. I'm Corey Frazier. is that a thing? Is that we have a guest today?
No, those I think were for Wayne's one-on-ones he was doing. I just clicked the wrong box.
Okay, good enough. Anyway, my name's Hutch Bailey Jr. My studio is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This is the award-winning Wayne Dupree Show. To my left, Mr. Jason Robinson from Minnesota.
Hey, happy Thursday, everybody. Oh my God, Hutch, the news is just blowing up. I can't wait to share this with our audience. Wayne should be joining us shortly.
Yeah, there's so many things going on right now. I was kind of stunned this morning when I started looking at things. It's like, especially the, well, you know what? Let's get right into it. Top of the show before I bring any subject matter to the show. Wayne Dupree is in the green room and will be joining us momentarily. But yeah, I'm looking at this news and it's bizarre, man. And I'll tell you, the thing that bothers me the worst, you know, I look at things historically, you know, and you know, when I see Netanyahu coming out saying that we're turning into Germany in the 30s.
Right.
And then I see what's going on our college campi.
Yeah.
And then we're on our way to go to war with Russia. It's not good historically. It doesn't work out well. Anyway, Mr. Wayne Dupree.
Mr. Wayne Dupree.
Here I is. his old. Oh, man. No, I ain't even going to do that. It's an old joke, long time ago. you know what? I won't say it because you know what? It's Friday for us, and a joke is a joke. Black man and white man were fighting over what color Jesus was. Black man said Jesus black. White man said Jesus white. Black man said Jesus black. White man said Jesus white. They're fighting, man. They're going back and forth. They almost came to fisticuffs. Jesus black, Jesus white, Jesus black, Jesus white. Well, white man said, I tell you what, you go and get the Bible, and I'll show you in the Bible where it says that Jesus was white. Black man said, okay, I'm going to do it. And if you can't show me, we about to move some furniture around here. So the black man gives the Bible to the white dude, goes across here. He's like, black dude was getting impatient. Where is it? I'm getting it to her, sir. Here it is. There it is. Right there. Right here in the Bible. That's where the scripture said, Jesus said, I am that I am. Now, Jesus black word said, I is that I is. Somebody from church gave me that. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Wayne Dupree. That's right. I can make jokes about everything. I don't care. You know why? Because we're only on this planet for a little while, and then we move on. So, I mean, come on, y'all. Let me introduce the godfather of conservative radio, Mr. Hutch Bailey Jr.
Hello, everybody. Glad to be here getting started on our Friday.
And we got the Imam of Minnesota, Mr. Jason Robinson.
Hey, happy Thursday, guys. It's going to be a fiery episode.
You think so?
Oh, dude, there is so much big stuff going on.
Is it? Is it really? Because, oh, I mean, all I see, well, Harvey Weinstein, his conviction is
overturned
by a panel of female judges.
Right.
Said that the judge put on people that wasn't even associated with the case. Wow.
Right.
Who saw that? And he could walk. Because if they don't want to prosecute him again, he's going to walk. Now, guess what? When he went to trial, he had a walker.
I remember that.
I wonder what kind of miracles is going to happen if he walks.
He's going to get back out and Hollywood's going to return to normal operations.
Right. We might end for the movie we could watch. I mean,
hide your little boys.
Right.
You best bring kryptonite next time. Yeah. You know what? I was thinking, well, with the thing for President Trump and, you know, really, I haven't been talking about trial too much. Because it's a bull sham trial. But I gotta say, man. I gotta say. And looking at what just happened in Arizona.
We better start fighting back.
Yeah, we've been saying that for the last.
I know.
Bottom line is this. Democrats fight to win. That's just it.
And Republicans fight to let the Democrats win.
That's all.
Yep.
That's all. Democrats fight to win. When they lose, they come back stronger. They just fight to win. And people will go around and people will say, what? Why don't and it's almost like we're yelling at our people, knowing that our people ain't going to do nothing. But we're yelling at our people. Well, no, actually, we're yelling at the Democrats, thinking that the Democrats are going to do the same thing. But the Democrats, they are in the game for keeps. Even though they're on the same, they are the ugly stepsister, the older stepsister that rules over everything that is below. Okay. But it's like, look, I mean, the AG, what's your name out there in Arizona?
I don't know.
I'd have to look it up.
Okay.
She's sold by like 200 votes.
Yeah. Chris Mays, the AG, just barely won the AG. They had to go to a runoff, I think. Barely won.
And that result was questionable.
Was questionable. And guess what? Now that she's in, she's doing everything to make sure that she's going to be in there. So whoever orders that she was following after or that helped her do it or whatnot, boom. Guess what? No. Mm-mm. We got to bring these. We got to indict these people. Indict. Not our investigation. We are
for challenging an election result. It's
which
not
has
a crime.
Multiple times across our.
I mean, I still remember Al Gore and Hillary Clinton saying that they won.
Right.
You know, this is so bad. And I was thinking about this morning. Mm-hmm. And when I'm trying to digest this stuff, and I'm thinking, all right, why aren't Republicans that aren't on the federal level at the state and local level? Are these people all connected? Is the whole thing a sham? Is there not an AG out there besides Paxton? It's on our side.
That's what I said. Because I was like, you're trying to tell me there are no Republican AGs in this whole United States that can bring charges against a Clinton or an Obama or a Hillary or a Nancy Pelosi. You're trying to tell me of all the crooked stuff that they know, y'all can't bring a charge?
They're going to lose it. The Republicans are going to lose their stuff.
Well, there's two thoughts. One, we keep bringing knives to gunfights, and bringing a knife to a gunfight never ends well for you. The second thing is the Republicans know that if they institute the same tactics as the Democrats, they're going to get rolled. I mean, look at John Eastman or Sidney Powell or Jenna Ellis or any of those folks that, I mean, they're getting prosecuted.
For that's the point of the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look at the protesters. These folks can do whatever they want on the college campuses. None of them are going to spend a day in jail. None of them are going to get any charges, you know, and that's where the two-tier justice system comes in, because I'm sure there's AG out there saying we could apply these same loose principles to Democrats that they're applying to Republicans, but then they're going to come after me. All of a sudden, the CIA's knocking, the FBI's knocking, you know, they're coming for my law license, and they're just not, you know, they've received the message.
We might as well just raise a communist flag then.
Right.
If nobody's courageous enough to fight against these people, then we might as well just give up. And when I say give up, I mean, put your rifles out in the street, you know, go to digital currency, you know, let's just do everything. Let me go take a jab. This is insane.
It is.
And with going with what Hush just said, if you think about it more, it's like, well, why haven't they done it yet? Why haven't the Dems just conquered Rome? Why haven't they just take? Because there is a faction, a small faction, not a large one, but there is a small faction called the American people that won't let it happen. In 2016, you saw the American people like, you know what? We're tired of these politicians. Tired of them. You know, and that scared the bejesus out of them because they were like, oh, wait a minute. They just upset the apple cart. They ain't supposed to be doing this. They ain't supposed to be voting against what the media tells them to do. They ain't supposed to be using their own brains to have somebody else that's outside the political establishment to come and get elected. No. We got to fix this. So they tried to close the loophole, or they've been trying to close the loophole to stop anybody else like a Donald Trump from ever running again. And then in 2020, they thought they had him. Oh, we got him now. We impeachment after impeachment, and we bring charge after charge and charge, and then we'll do it. Wait a minute. Hold on. Don't forget about the election thing. Oh, that's right. There was no cheating. Don't say he was cheating. There's nothing in there that Pence could do. Let's hurry and pass that legislation so that what Pence did can't happen again. All right. There we go. Legislation passed to close the loophole that they found that Pence could have did something. We're going to close that legislation or we're going to pass the legislation so that it never happens again. Why in the world would you pass legislation to end that loophole if you told the American people that that loophole didn't mean anything in the first place? You see what I'm saying?
Because they were lying.
Yeah, but blah, 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 blah. No. And then on top of that, there's something up because I'm looking at what's happening in Arizona. It's really pissed me off. It really pissed me off that AG could do this to MAGA leaders and to the, well, you know, and I don't know about these electors, but the MAGA leaders is what I'm talking about. The Dems have written the rules. They're the oldest political party in the whole thing. Honestly, if they could burn the Constitution tomorrow, they would do it. The only problem is that, like I said, the American people would rise up against them. That's why they're not doing it. That's why they're going piece by piece, trying to hide this and trying to change it. But just as soon as we said something a few years ago, the Dems said, no, but the Constitution is a living, breathing thing. No, the hell it is. Yeah, I remember that. It was a living, breathing thing.
And don't confuse Republicans, excuse me, not knowing how to fight. Republicans do know how to fight. Just look at Madison Cawthorn and look at George Santos. They know how to fight. They get rid of anybody that's not a Washington general.
Yep.
They'll quickly look at the primaries. They'll quickly fight. It's just they never fight Democrats when it's the important things.
I'll go with you on Cawthorn. But listen,
I mean, like, I ain't saying nothing good about George Santos. I don't care what
forget George Santos. Look at what the Republicans did. The Republicans
he didn't get no donations. You see that, though? He didn't get none. I mean, that's not the Democrats, though. That's our side.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about them throwing him out.
Well, yeah. Well,
that's wrong. They should have never done that.
Right. They should have.
They could have easily voted him out if they wanted to do that.
Yeah.
They could have stripped him of his seat.
They could have stripped him of his role, kept him in Congress, and just waited him out until the end of the watch.
I would have thought, I think they should have convicted him first, not just because of what somebody says.
He shouldn't have been kicked out. And Democrats in the media do this move where they get Republicans to punch himself in the face. And I'm not saying at the end George Santos shouldn't have been removed, but he should have been given his day in court.
Yeah, we don't know. We're just going off of what somebody said.
Right.
Well, yeah. The government.
If the evidence was there, then all right, that's different.
Right. Yeah. Well, but I mean, you got Goldbar Bob Menendez, and I mean, he's still showing up.
His wife is turning against him, or he's turning against the wife. You see that? And even that right now is still allegations, but that's happening. I mean, he hasn't been convicted of anything, but his partner was a baseball player? Because Jose Uribe used to be a baseball player.
Oh, I have to look. That would be funny.
And I kept looking, but I couldn't see if that Jose Uribe was
the same Jose Uribe.
Menendez, was the same Jose Uribe, right? Right.
Menendez has a penchant for Dominican girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, I kept looking. I was like, "Is that Jose Uribe's son, or is that Jose?" Because everybody ain't named Jose Uribe. Oh man! But yeah, I mean, his wife getting ready to turn against. But again, they're going to convict him on something.
Yep.
And has a convicted felon, can convicted felons run for office? Yes or no?
I don't know. Yeah.
Pretty sure they can.
Okay. So because, well, Wayne, why do you say they're going to convict him? And Hutch and Jay, why do y'all say that they're going to convict him? The reason why I'm saying it is because the judge won't even let him go to the immunity thing for the Supreme Court.
Oh, they just want to be able to call him convicted felon.
That's telling right there. You know, you're going to be here. Oh, no. Actually, can we move the date? No, you can't move the date. You're going to be here for 5-6 weeks here in this court every day. And if you don't, we're going to put you in jail. The immunity case was scheduled over a couple months ago on April something. So you knew that was coming up. Don't care. My court. Supreme Court. Wow. You won't let him attend his son's graduation.
But you let the lady on Monday go out for a dentist appointment.
Right.
And shut the whole case down.
Well, and then you took off on a Wednesday for your other court cases. You know? Man, that's what I'm talking about. I was sitting there this morning. I was like, girl. Damn. And the only people seeing it are common sense, logical people. Everybody else, whatever.
Well, and even this New York case, because you've got, I mean, Hillary literally had the same thing in New York. And they just fined her, like, oh, you should use personal money or you should have coded it differently. And every case with Trump, it's all we have is novel prosecution theory. And I mean, at what point do you not? I mean, even the stuff coming out of that Judge Cannon case in Florida, the documents case, you're seeing in court documents that they're now unredacting that there was coordination between the Biden White House and the Department of Justice and these prosecutors. I'm reading it and I'm like, how is this not one of the biggest news stories going?
I mean, it's point after point of taking his constitutional rights away.
Right.
The defendant should not be able to do this. He should not be able to see evidence. He should not be able to see witness lists. He should not, it's like, what?
Right.
It's like you would always think when you go to court, or I mean, even if you look at lawyer shows or even lawyer documentaries or court documentaries, people have the judge usually gives leeway. Well, not leeway, but gives you the ability for your lawyers, like when the prosecution comes up with something, if you're on the defense side, if prosecution comes up with something, then the prosecution has to give all their evidence over to the defense. Discovery. Discovery is almost in every case. But when you start getting, some say it's Texas justice, old Texas justice, but when you get to the place where, nope, Can't show this, can't show that, can't show that. So that a person can't defend himself. That's railroading. That's straight up railroad.
They're turning our country upside down. We don't get back from this.
Right.
You know? You keep going down this road and then it's nobody's going to trust the government. I mean, people that do still, I don't believe they do, but they do.
Right now they are at Supreme Court speaking about the immunity for President Trump. And I mean, and honestly, President Trump came out a couple of days ago, which is something that I said last year. And I know some more people have said it. But if you're going to strip him of immunity, then it's stripped for everybody. It's stripped for everybody. And that's just how the cookie crumbles. Let me play this exchange at the Supreme Court.
I haven't listened to it yet, but there's a ton of great clips.
Game had to do with the difference between official conduct and private conduct, right?
That's correct. I understood the court to be asking that.
No, this would apply, and just a possibility. I don't know whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, or whether it can be derived from the structure of the Constitution or the vesting clause. Or
is Judge Alito speaking to a Trump attorney? Is Alito what? Alito is a Republican or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's conservative.
All right.
Any other source, but this would be applied in a purely objective, on purely objective grounds, when the president invokes an official power in taking the action that is at issue.
Yes, I believe the reason I think of Blazingame is because it talks about an objective, context-specific determination to winnow out what's official and what is purely private conduct. And again, with a strong degree of deference to
what I'm sorry, if I understood Justice Alito, he's suggesting not that. He's suggesting whether, even if it is an official act, whether you still grant immunity if that act is not plausibly viewed as within the realm of law. He can correct me if I'm wrong.
That was the question.
That, I think, would be a superior rule than the categorical denial that emerged in the trial court here. I do think
I'm not quite sure why he used the word plausible, because that seems to negate, might as well give absolute if you're saying plausible, because anybody could argue plausibility. We don't even require plausible, we require reasonable in qualified immunity. So,
well, I mean, one might argue that it isn't plausibly legal to order SEAL Team 6, and I don't want to slander SEAL Team 6, because they're honorable. They're honorable officers, and they are bound by the Uniform Code of Military Justice not to obey unlawful orders. But no, I think one could say that it's not plausible that is legal, that action would be legal. And I'm sure I've thought of lots of hypotheticals. I'm sure you've thought of lots of hypotheticals where a president could say, I'm using an official power, and yet the president uses it in an absolutely outrageous manner.
That, if we're an objective determination, may well be an interesting approach to take.
So apply it to the allegations here. What is plausible about the president assisting in creating a fraudulent slate of electoral candidates? Assuming you accept the facts of the complaint on their face, is that plausible, that would be within his right to do?
Absolutely, Your Honor. We have the historical precedent we cite in the lower courts of President Grant sending federal troops to Louisiana and Mississippi in 1876 to make sure that the Republican electors got certified in those two cases, which delivered the election to Rutherford B. Hayes. The notion that it's completely implausible, I think, just can't be supported based on the face of this indictment or even
knowing that the slate is fake. Knowing that the slate is fake, that they weren't actually elected, that they weren't certified by the state. He knows all those things.
The indictment itself alleges, I dispute that characterization, the indictment affixes the word label to the so-called fraudulent electors. It affixes the word fraudulent, but that's a complete mischaracterization. On the face of the indictment, it appears that there was no deceit about who had emerged from the relevant state conventions, and this was being done as an alternative basis. But I want to address a more higher level point, a fundamental point, which is that, as Justice Alito's question indicated, there's a whole series of structural checks other than criminal prosecution that are designed to deter these kind of, you know, outlandish scenarios or extraordinarily obviously illegal things. And that's been viewed in this court's opinions going all the way back to at least Martin.
Where do you think the DC?
That was
RFK Jr.
Yeah,
right.
Man, I mean,
that's a hard voice to listen to.
Yeah, it is hard. Yeah, that was Alito and
Sauer.
Sauer.
Yeah. What's his name again? Sauer Mayor?
D. John Sauer, Trump's attorney.
No. Supreme Court judge. What's his name?
Alito.
Alito.
Oh, no, the other one. The other dude.
Sotomayor.
Yeah.
Other dude. Threw me for a second there.
You know, Sawyer pointed out a good thing, too, to understand this. What Republicans set up was an alternate slate of electors, which is a completely valid process. But they try to weaponize the media by calling it fraudulent electors. And they prepared that set of electors because they were contesting the election results. So they had electors lined up in case their case won, if that makes sense. Like, hey, we're appealing, but we got to get these electors lined up. So, but by letting the prosecution and the media call it fraudulent electors, then that just poisons the American population of what was actually happening.
That's a good point, because that's what I was thinking. Like, I didn't know. I didn't fully understand the process. And I'm thinking, what did these guys do, man? I mean, what is this?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. These alternates were also elected?
Yeah, they were just the Republican ones.
Yeah, they go through a process where you nominate your electors and your electors, you know, submit their Electoral College ballots. Each state's got a little different rules for how they do it, but alternate electors, I mean, there were alternate electors in Bush versus Gore, you know, because there was court cases. And actually, if you remember in 2016, electors are not bound by that. I mean, we can go find the clips of a bunch of...
Well, we know the state electors aren't, right? Yeah.
Right, yeah. But I mean, there was a bunch of actors and actresses and big influencers saying, we're appealing to the Electoral College. You can change your vote.
Right. And the Electoral College, right.
I mean, that's essentially the same thing.
The electors are elected.
Right.
And I guess the way I understand it, you have some of these swing states that were clearly ripped off, clearly stolen. So you had the Republican Party in that state just getting a team ready in case he overturned the case. You know, but they're not going to vote.
But those were the ones that were called fraudulent ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're okay. Alternate electors. Hey, if we win our court case, here's our electors.
Yeah, see, they lost. So the Democrats have all their electors standing in the door. Right? All we did was line up ours in case those ones had to leave.
Yep.
Because the Democrats fraudulently won the election.
No
court had the audacity to deal with it.
Here's Trump lawyer taking on Sotomayor.
Now, I think, and your answer below, I'm going to give you a chance to say if you stay by it. If the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person, and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts that for which he can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
It could, and why? Because he's doing it for personal reasons. He's not doing it like President Obama is alleged to have done it, to protect the country from a terrorist. He's doing it for personal gain. And isn't that the nature of the allegations here, that he's not doing them?
Now, that sort of, that exchange, that part right there does not sound anywhere about law. That sounds like an activist.
I know. That's what I was thinking. It's like, wow.
That sounds like an activist thing.
You're going back to when Barack Obama sent a Hellfire missile and blew up an American citizen overseas. You're comparing that with somebody taking out a corrupt politician that who knows the damage that they could do.
And you know what? I kept wondering to myself, why are they stuck on that? Why are they
much?
why? I mean, it seems like this these Supreme Court judges are stuck on the assassination thing, because assassination of rivals is I mean, do they think that if Trump gets it, well, yeah, they probably would, because they think the worst. Yeah,
they are. They're all living in Germany during the rise of Hitler in their mentality. These folks have no, they have no grip of reality. They thought January 6th that, thank God, because Jacob Chansley in his buffalo hat was going to overthrow the U.S. government.
Well, just think of this. Before we give them that much credit, think of this. The Democrats have to win.
Yep.
If Trump wins and we start turning these rocks over, people are going to prison one way or another. I mean, the crimes are immense,
but like these
people have done.
But like what Jason said, once he gets in there, he's got to clear the deck immediately.
Absolutely.
Because I think one of the major things that I think you and I agreed with back in the day is that he, well, it's not that he couldn't move fast enough, is that he couldn't get rid of people. He couldn't rid of the Obama
people. And he couldn't hire people.
And he couldn't, well, yeah. I mean, the media scared the people that were trying to.
Thanks, Mitch.
2016 was so crazy because Donald Trump got more votes than probably any presidential candidate back in 2016, right?
Yep.
And, but if you looked at the first year or first couple years, it seemed like they kept saying, well, nobody wants to work for.
They would remember they wouldn't, they wouldn't approve anybody in the Senate.
Exactly.
Right? They wouldn't approve judges. Senate.
Right. They wouldn't approve judges. And then they wouldn't approve cabinet, well, not cabinet posts, just department
posts too.
Yeah. Yeah. They wouldn't approve it. Because they put these people, now we've been through background checks. These people got had background on a background checks.
Yep.
All the way back to when they were a sperm. And you know, I mean, that's how far they went, and they probably went back to another lifetime. But it, all these people put him in office, upset the apple cart. And I'm sure many of them would want to serve to make America great. And they scared the bejesus out of the people in 2016. Don't you want to be part of Trump? No, no, no. That's okay. That's all right.
Hey, while we're talking alternate electors, do we want to take a trip back to 2017? I got a little video there. Let me see if it'll play.
MSNBC chief legal correspondent Ari Melber. Ari, I've been receiving emails about this, people with tweets about this. This is that bit of hope that Hillary Clinton supporters are holding on to. Fact from fiction. What happens here?
What happens here is nothing. This is not going to change the outcome of the election. It is certainly an oddity of our democracy that in almost every race, we count the ballots and give the victory to the person who has the most votes. Except for the presidency, where often, as we see this year, as we saw in 2000, as we've seen in earlier races, the person with the most votes sometimes does not become president. In this case, by all accounts thus far, some counting still going on, Hillary Clinton. But here's why. If you look at a map across the country, 29 states under state law bind their electors, and five of those states have actual criminal penalties for it. So what that really means is those electors, although it is a weird system, are bound by state law to uphold the results of their state, and that is why they have to stay with what happened in the states. The other point I'll make for people who are interested in systemic reform, not changing the outcome of this race, which, as I explained, isn't going to happen, there is a proposal that has moved across the country for future elections to say, what if we switch the states to a national popular vote and set up what's called a trigger? It's an interesting idea that basically says all the states would agree that once they all change their races and they all change the state law, they would all abide by one national popular vote because we're one nation, because this constitutional system that was set up in the 1700s is very different from today. So that's an idea. That's the reason why you do it with a trigger is no state wants to be the state to give up power along the way. They will only do it. It's like a who goes first kind of thing. But the oddity of our system doesn't change. I want to be clear about this. The law, as you know. It is weird that someone in Idaho representing a small number of people has the same amount of power in the Senate as someone in Texas, but that is the rules. We understand the rules. We play by the rules until and unless they change.
All right, well, get ready for your Twitter to blow up.
Come at me.
with legal eagles out there.
As we say in the court of law, come at me, dog.
But if you notice,
I don't know what that had to do with awesome states
that are, there's only 20-some states that are bound to follow the election results.
Which
all
is,
those other states, including Arizona, that were grayed out, are not required to follow they're able to set up alternate electors.
Which is states' rights. Correct. They have the ability to do whatever they want to do. But we didn't start knowing about electors until the 2016 election, about not being bound. But then we also found out about the super delegates in 2016 too. Well, actually we found out more about that. We found out that the Republican Party at the time didn't have to. I mean, if Trump had, well, Trump did win, but leading up to the RNC convention, we were hearing that they didn't even have to make him the nominee, which was shocking to us. We're like, wait a minute. We voted for him. He won the nomination. What do you mean he can be replaced? They same thing for Bernie Sanders, but Bernie got replaced by Hillary.
Took the book deal.
As a matter of fact, I watched that on C-SPAN. I watched those super delegates come in and have more power than the regular delegates on that. It was the DNC convention. It lasts for a few hours, man. It's like, wow. But, you know, Bernie didn't have a chance. Republicans didn't do that, though. Because many Republicans were like, oh, he ain't gonna win. He ain't gonna win. Next thing you know, Republicans like, not only were the Republicans scared of the Democrats, they were scared of American people. What are they gonna do to us if we choose not to
have Trump?
You know? Okay. So, but in this Arizona thing that's happening right now, we told you about the AG that's down or the AG person that is, she just barely won, but she's saying, oh, you know, I wish you didn't have to. Yeah,
I'm Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays. Let me start by thanking everyone for your patience as we conducted a thorough and professional investigation over the past 13 months into the fake elector scheme in our state. I understand for some of you today didn't come fast enough, and I know I'll be criticized by others for conducting this.
Fake elect. They keep saying what y'all trying to explain, everybody. They keep saying fake electors. They keep saying fake.
Americans,
what did they
do? They don't have a real long attention span, man.
And right. Especially in a state that allows this, right?
Yes.
In a state
that allows. And we just saw the graphic that showed they can choose alternate electors.
Think back a couple years. Arizona politicians are owned by the drug cartels in Mexico. Don't ever forget that, man. Money makes these things happen.
That's how they got rid of that sheriff down there.
Yep.
Investigation at all. But as I have stated before and will say here again today, I will not allow American democracy to be undermined. It's too important.
That's a Democrat talking point, by the way. They all say that. They all say that.
The investigators and attorneys assigned to this case took the necessary time to thoroughly piece together the details of the events that began nearly 4 years ago.
Did she say they got paid? Oh, no. She didn't say they got paid. She said they pieced together. I thought she said they all
time
got through.
To thoroughly piece together the details of the events that began nearly 4 years ago. They followed the facts where they led, and I'm very proud of the work they've done to date. We're here because justice demands an answer to the efforts that the defendants and other unindicted co-conspirators allegedly took to undermine the will of Arizona's voters during the 2020 presidential election.
Jason, that's a think tank script.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is pure mind control, brainwashing, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you use phrases like subvert democracy, fake electors, all those buzzwords, and you just keep putting it on repeat.
Yep.
And soon that becomes implanted in people's brains that, oh, it's fake electors.
Right.
And you look at the background that nobody talks about. Trump was ahead by 7 points in Arizona at that time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, only 42% were going for Biden.
Yep.
Yeah.
You look at who they're prosecuting, too. This is no joke, man.
Yeah, I know.
Kelly Ward, state senators, Jake Hoffman and Anthony Kern, both Republicans.
Yep.
Rudy Giuliani.
Yep.
First
Mark Meadows,
chief of staff Mark Meadows. They're trying to go. They're trying to get those two to flip.
Yeah.
Well, and
Giuliani and Meadows. They're especially Giuliani. He's in his 80s, I think.
The unindicted co-conspirators, President Trump.
Yeah.
And so they're threat. You know, it's shot across the bow. And one of the guys is in charge of the RNC ground game. I can't remember the guy's name, but I saw them like, where have I seen that before? And I went and looked it up and. And he's doing a lot of the get out the vote stuff for the RNC.
You know, but they did redact the electors. They put out the MAGA leaders, but they did redact the electors.
Right.
You know, which is strange. I wonder if that's going to be the case where the electors come out and say something. And that's why they redacted them or something like that, but you know, it's
Arizona's.
This is how banana republics work, man. You get people afraid of the court, you throw them in a gulag. You can see there's no accountability in the federal prison system.
Nope.
Miles Guo's in there, all those J6ers are in there. There's no sentence, they're just in there for life,
right?
Or however, until they decide to open the door.
Some of those J6ers got sentenced.
That's true.
Not that they were guilty, but they did get sentenced, though.
You're right. It took years, though. It took years.
But Guo.
Once again, they got sentences on a law that's never been enforced this way in the 40 years it's been on the books.
And I'm glad you said it like that, because what we have seen over the last 10 to 15 years. It's things that have happened that have never been happened. That has never been allowed to happen, or that has never been done that was done for the first time. And these things are done because the White House puts those nuggets out there to feelers to see what the American people thinks. Turn the flag, not to speak.
I think the American flag is supposed to be on the right.
On the other side, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. It's the way it was on my uniform.
Yeah. The White House puts out things to see what the American people does, you know, like student debt and all that stuff, just to see reparations, just Trial to see what American people. Yeah. So same thing with the things that Jason was talking about. All these things over the last 10, 15 years, new stuff that American people are like, you can't do that. But they did it anyway. And that's why I said yesterday, when it comes to these trials, you know, it's like everybody knows that the trial that Trump is going through right now should not be going through. And actually, Republicans in Congress, there are a few out there that are yelling, but nobody's stopping it. Nobody is stopped. I mean, honestly, Congress could probably, a Republican Congress could probably pass something. Or, well, I guess, I don't know. I mean, if they're putting stuff out there for the first time, maybe a Republican Congress can put a stop to the trial for the first. Well, you can't do that. Well, look, y'all do stuff that we ain't never seen before. We can do stuff too. Boom, we did it. You know what I'm saying? If that's the rule that they can play by over the last 10 to 15 years, then we can do the same thing on our side. But we don't for some reason. You know why? Because our side is scared. Or no, not scared. They get same party, same uniparty and stuff like that. And
they're on the payroll.
They don't. Yeah. Everything that happens to us doesn't happen to them. So as long as it don't touch them, they ain't gonna do nothing.
And it didn't really just start either.
No.
They deposed John F. Kennedy and they deposed Richard Nixon. The FBI did that to Nixon. They set him up with John Dean. All those people that were involved in that burglary worked for the CIA at some point.
Yeah.
I'm done with this charade.
Yeah, people forget President Nixon had just won an election by the largest amount in history. The history of the nation.
And he's the reason that the Democrats have the superdelegates.
Yeah.
Because of that convention in Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, Bobby Sox. President Trump did say some things before he went into it.
As you probably have heard, some very big things have happened, but the biggest seems to be that the GDP just announced it's all the way down to 1.6%, and it's heading south. It's going to get worse. Gas prices in California were just also announced at $7.60. Gasoline is going way up. Energy costs are going way up. And the stock market is, in a sense, crashing. The numbers are very bad. This is Bidenomics. It's catching up with him. It's lucky that it's catching up before he leaves office as opposed to after he leaves office. But this is Bidenomics. It's destroying our country at the border, destroying our country with other countries. They no longer respect the United States. I think the dollar's in tremendous trouble in terms of currency. This is going to be the standard, and it's going to be the standard with me. With Biden, you're going to lose. The dollar is the standard. That'll be like losing the biggest war we've ever lost. And it's a shame, but it's all the way down to 1.6. And I'll tell you, nobody thought that would be possible. And it looks like it's heading down from there.
What a guy.
We want Trump. We want Trump. We want Trump. USA! USA! USA!
Union members in New York.
Yeah, Trump got up a little early at 6:30 and he went down to see some union workers before court. I tell you what, when he said New York's in play, I'm thinking this 5-6 weeks of him with his trial is going to put New York in play for Trump.
I'll tell you, you look at this guy. I didn't know you were going to play that second clip, but what I was going to say is think about this, man. He's under all these indictments in three different states, and he talks about the economy.
I was thinking about that, yeah.
That guy is a freaking patriot like no other.
I was thinking about that, yep. I sure was.
That's like, something the Democrats don't understand. Self-sacrifice for a cause. They'll sacrifice everybody else. But boy, when they show up at Schumer's house, they're going to jail.
Yep. Yeah, how about that? Those protesters get carted off.
Oh, yeah, it's the DNC PD.
Right. Well, you know, to answer Wayne's question, like, why haven't the Democrats closed the circle? The Second Amendment. They just can't.
The Second Amendment for the Americans that have arms, right? Yeah. But if they find a way to get those arms away from the American people, then they can
think of the logistics of that.
I know. That's why they haven't done it.
Train cars.
Yeah.
I'm just, that's why I'm saying that's the only, like, they keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and then we get normalized to this new behavior and everybody accepts it. Oh, Donald Trump, 91 felony charges or 88 or whatever. Oh, he gets his day in court, though. This is great, but we're going to put it in a 90% Biden market with the judge whose daughter makes $100 million off this. And everybody thinks that's normal.
Did you guys see Nancy Pelosi's daughter?
I mean,
she came out railing against the J6 judges for being unfair.
Oh, really? And
totally railing, yeah. Alexandria Pelosi.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say that the people who really understand where this is going, they're targeting and they're going after us right now. But eventually, once they quell the MAGA movement, the next population they need to quell are the activist left. So all these same tactics that they're using on MAGA will get turned on the activist left.
Again, historically, it doesn't look good.
Right.
This is what the SS did to the SA and the communist in Nazi Germany. Yep. After Hitler took power, they killed these people that helped them get power.
Right. And the left doesn't see it. They see, and the whole protections, I mean, the Constitution, we've all heard, they'd rather have 10 guilty people go free than one innocent man be jailed. And all this stuff was designed to keep the government from unfairly targeting citizens.
From doing what they're doing.
Yeah, and in President Trump's case, this is the epitome of show me a man, I'll show you the crime. And January 6th, same thing. And you can look at that case in just a nutshell and say, oh, I can see the charges. But then when you brought it out, go, well, how come nobody else ever been charged for this? And then it all becomes clear. But some of the crazies on the left are like, holy cow, like, that could be me if I fall out of favor.
That's what they should think, too, because especially with these Islamic terrorists and stupid Americans, how can the Democrats go on with their lifestyle with the Muslims in charge?
Right.
They're going next.
Yeah, like when you see these college campuses and it's trannies for Palestine, I'm like, y'all.
I saw a drag show that was preaching Palestine.
Right.
It's like, you people are nuts. You don't know what you're doing. You are the epitome of stupid.
Right. I mean, do they really just not know what they do to gay people and trannies?
And I mean, you don't. You don't get the lethal injection. You get hit in the face with a brick.
You get thrown off a building. Like, we've shown it. It's crazy.
We got a couple of phone calls here. We got a couple of phone calls.
Hi, I'm just wondering why the Republican lawmakers are not behind Trump. They should go to the steps of Congress all together and make their voices heard. This is ridiculous what they're doing to a former president, the best president we ever had, that's running again and trying to be jailed by his opponent. This is a third world country. Someone has to do this immediately. They want to put him in jail. Really? And they let criminals out? You could kill a cop and come out the next day. Thank you very much.
Thank you, dear.
I would refer to the Harlem Globetrotters on why the Republicans aren't supporting him. Because the Republicans in Congress are just like the team. Remember, they used to come from city to city. The Harlem Globetrotters came here all the time, and they played against a mostly white team, the Washington Generals.
Washington
Generals. And Washington Generals are 0 for 700.
Yeah. Yep.
But they got paid well.
Yes, they did.
And I use the pro wrestling analogy. Like, we think Hulk Hogan's really fighting the Iron Sheik for Old Glory. But the fact of the matter is, after the show, those guys are going to get a beer. Yeah. And
Congress.
Right. And that's what Congress is. Republicans and Democrats, like, they are in power once you get in the club. And you see it with people where you get this rep, you get them elected. Holy cow, they're going to go change things. 2 years later, they're taking huge payouts from PACs.
Look at John Boehner.
Right.
John Boehner, Joe Conservative. And he's lobbying for a weed firm.
Sure it is.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is nuts. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. We have got to get away from thinking the Republican Party is going to bail us out. The Republic, I guarantee you, if you did the forensics, you would find Republican fingerprints on these court cases against Trump.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
We got to change this. We have to.
It is the political class versus the citizens. It is not right versus left.
Mm-mm. I got another phone call. Here we go.
Hi. I really hope that you don't record this on the station, but this America is.
Okay. Don't record this. Let me see something here.
Here, I thought it was Carl saying we're asking me where to send his.
I blocked Carl's deal.
That's the America I know, and I know Donald Trump's personality isn't great, but he did a good job when he was in charge here as president. This country is falling apart. We can't afford the gas. We can't afford the food. It's terrible. And they're bringing all these immigrants in, and we don't even know who they are. They're not checked or anything. And a couple of them have killed people already. What is going on? Do they not care? I don't think Biden cares a bit about this country or whoever is telling him what to do or what to say. He isn't even alert. And I felt bad for the man because they're making a fool out of him. But I hope and pray that Trump gets through this. I mean, they're just looking for every little thing to tear him apart. And that's disgusting. Thank you.
Got another one.
Hey, guys. First and foremost, I want to say I appreciate everything that you guys do. You guys are pretty good. There's been very few times where I've kind of been unhappy with you. Mainly the only times I've been unhappy with anything that you guys have said is when you've kind of given this, you know, fake crap that we're seeing, like, credibility as though it's, like, legitimate, like, you know, this Mike Johnson guy or some of these politicians I've heard you talk about as though they're, it's not such a dog and pony show. When in reality it is, and they're all corrupt. There's really not one of them, and I don't even care if it's Marjorie Greene Taylor, that I think should remain in office when this is all done. I think that we're to a point where you cannot trust any of them, regardless if they're a good or bad, because at this point, the only way to be sure that they are all, that, you know, everything's settled, is to just start from a clean slate and get rid of these people. I know it sounds like a fantasy, but every single one of them is corrupt in my eyes at this point. I've been paying attention to this stuff for long enough now, since about 2008. I'm 36 years old now. But nice. I'll tell you this. My sister died from these drugs that have been flooding in across the border. We were battling with that, me and my family, for quite a long time, and I lost her. And I blame it on the government more than I blame it on her. You know, right. I know that she had a choice, but, you know, the government wants to stop building this wall. They want to send all this money, this insane amount of money that's just breaking us as a country and financially, like, we're going down the tubes. And we're all sitting here watching Trump in court. And in reality, if you're paying attention to what's happening financially, we're going down the drain. We're getting into hyperinflation right now, and nobody's really paying attention to that because everybody's paying attention to this other stuff. So, you know, I don't know what their plan is by the end, but it sounds to me like most of this lawfare shit is just a distraction from the economy, in my opinion. I think the economy is the biggest fucking problem that we have. I am infuriated with the government. I feel like they murdered my sister with this drug stuff. I feel like my uncle, who died from COVID in that same year that my sister died from drugs, was also murdered by the government with that fake virus. So if you want to talk about infuriated and pissed off, you're listening to it right now. I'm fucking over it. I'm done with these fucking people. I'm done with this government. It's a joke. Joe Biden's just a puppet. I don't know why anybody even looks at him and says he said this or he said that. He didn't say shit. He's reading off of some fucking card that some other asshole wrote something down that probably came from some other asshole that lives in some other country. And we all fucking know it. And I'm just fucking sick of everything.
I can tell.
Warning, explicit lyrics.
Woo! Man. Thank you, man.
I'm glad people are mad, though.
Yeah.
Because you have to be.
And honestly, to tell you the truth, and yes, this is a family show, but he lost his sister too, and you can't hide that emotion when you lose a loved one. And he blames it on the guy. He blames it on the whole entire government. You can't squash that. You can't.
What? And the caller's right.
Good day.
Yeah.
Good day. I wanted to speak again about private prosecution in the United States of America, where a private party can prosecute criminally under the U.S. law and does not require the approval of any federal or state or municipal prosecutor, that they can take it upon themselves to go to a judge, have a grand jury indictment, and then prosecute their case. That's a very, very basic, absolute necessity in order to maintain the integrity of our governments on all levels. The way it is now, only federal, state, and county prosecutors can prosecute, and they can give their authority away, but they won't, especially if a party to the prosecution is a government official. Or a judge, or
thoughts, Jay?
The problem with the proposed solution is that that's going to just benefit rich people, and I mean the problem is rich people and poor people, and that's why government's corrupt. Government's corrupt because we let money get into it. And the previous caller, I was going to say, like, he nailed it. If the three of us got to pick, we would shut down the federal government. We would lay off 70% of the federal workforce, and we would start over. And that would be what we'd do. And we'd say, how do we transfer all this power back to the states? You guys got to deal with stuff. Keep your money. We need enough to provide national defense. That's it.
Abolish both political parties.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I mean, you really need a political reset, because as soon as we let money into government, this is where we end up. And
I think of every time I think of our politics and our party, the Republican Party, the image that comes in my mind is Lindsey Graham.
Yep.
That's what we got. We got gay warmongers up there.
Well, yeah. And it's funny too, because like Robert just had a comment, they are not elected, they buy their way into government. Some rich people go into
gotta say how you feel, man. You can't, I mean, if you don't say it, they're controlling your speech.
I know, right? But I mean it was like, yeah, you know, we're in the gay war, bro.
Well, he's right.
I know, but he's right. I know.
Lindsey Graham. He gets into the Senate. Who funds his campaigns? The military-industrial complex. Yeah. Who hires his friends and family and relatives?
Oh,
the military-industrial complex. And so who does he support legislatively? The military-industrial complex.
And the Senate shower room.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the whole... And the intelligence community's got him on lockdown, because they're, you like, know, you want us to hit the button? on the email and hit send. Like all those, you want those videos to go out, Linz?
Oh, gracious.
We're in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
Hello, Wayne Dupree and J.I. and Hutch. This day is April 1st, 2024. I had a wonderful week. Praising God, giving God the glory, giving him all. I am a Christian, but it saddened me that the Democrat Party and the White House decided to attack God, attack Christianity. Let me tell you something right now. I'm a woman of God, and we do not play that. We do not play that at all. And to disrespect God's word the way they did and try to use it as this Disability Day for a transition or whatever. I don't understand that, but what I can say, God bless America. Keep all your prayers. And I pray for the White House because he gonna need it. When you mess with God, you are really, really anti-Christian. And that's the way I put it. I have nothing else more to say to him. Is that I will keep him in prayer and have mercy on his soul. Y'all have a blessed day. Thank you. Bye.
You too.
I remember playing that one. I think you have one more.
Joe Biden and the Democrats are hell-bent on destroying Donald Trump and this entire country. As much damage as they can do, they are set to do it and will do it at any means. FJB.
They have to. They have to win. That's, we're in a fight of our life. I mean, just think if they uncovered everything these people did.
Right.
And I'm not just talking Democrats. I mean, this is a full-fledged thing, man.
And that and well, guess what? And that's what they're trying to hide. That's why they don't want nobody to go up there and you know, and start moving around papers and stuff, because they're going to find out exactly what all of them are doing. And that's why we said, shut down the whole goddamn thing. Shut it down. Get rid of everybody. Take it back to the States, like you said. The states need to hold a constitutional convention. And even if they have to add something to, and I don't know how they're going to do it, but this constitutional convention should add something to the Constitution that says that, okay, 26 amendments, right? 25, 26?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the 27th amendment should be all federal lawmakers should be able to pass an aptitude civics test with a score of 90 or above. Somehow 90 or above.
Can we do that for voters? The
Constitution
too?
Is, the Bill of Rights is, and even put in there, they can't connect with any lobbyists or what. Put that in there too. Put that in there. You know,
what Jay said, I think they ought to do that for voters too.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's kind of funny too, because the Constitution is written. Is one of the best founding documents a country has ever had. And if we just live by what's already written, life would be so much better in America.
It would. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
But the problem is the type of people that they draw to these offices. These are not us three, man. These are people that were shunned in life. A lot of them. I mean, you look at these congressmen, especially the Democrats, but some Republicans too. They don't even look normal.
Well, and the comparison I'll use is, so when we set up the American Tribune with my business partners, we were talking about like, what kind of agreement do we put together? And at the end of the day, it's like, we're either all going to get along and be square with each other, or we're not. Whatever we write down just becomes nonsense. And my last business partner, my previous business, he ended up being a snake. And and like, I had a big contract that I had to battle with this guy over, you know, and now the new guy's like, everybody's super cool. And that's why I wish Americans could be like, you give corrupt people even the Constitution as well as it's written, and they're going to try to find some way to twist and turn it because they're corrupt people. And we've tolerated this corruption far too long.
You look at these agencies, and these agencies are designed to find corruption and compromise these people. I mean, there's whole agencies. That's what they do. I've heard them talk about it. I heard James Clapper talk about all the men that Mike Pence was with, you know, that they go out and they freaking spy on these people.
Right.
You saw that.
Hutch is on fire today.
That's why I do a radio show.
I'm weak. I am so weak right now. I'm so weak. Ooh. Oh, man.
I've been feeling weak the last couple days, too.
Really?
I saw somebody in the chat room say that, too.
Yeah.
But they connected it to chemtrails, so I moved along.
Yeah, you crazy. You know what? Just a while ago, that was weird because it felt like the room was spinning and everything just a while ago. That's
the way I've been feeling.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, yeah, it was almost like
I get up off of my chair. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I felt just a while ago.
Maybe
I mean,
it's like chemtrails.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm back now. I'm back. Man, that felt weird. Okay.
Check your blood pressure. Check your vitals.
Oh, I'm good. I'm
my heartbeat slowed down. That might be it.
Is that it? Okay. What are y'all looking at? What are y'all looking at right now?
Chris Christie.
What did Chris Christie do?
A couple things. He said that it was stupid of President Joe Biden not to reach out to him since he declared he was not supporting President Donald Trump in 2024. So that tells you everything you need to know about Chris Christie. You know, but he did something else too. He was in an interview. And he spoke at this event on Tuesday at the University of Chicago. Why former governor of New Jersey is in the University of Chicago with Bill Ayers, I have no idea. But it's titled, Does the Truth Still Matter in Conversation with Chris Christie? And he said that he would have preferred any of the candidates over Trump. But he said, Ramaswamy and Trump, I would have hoped for a death match where they both die. And then the interviewer tried to clarify it, the moderator, and asked him whether he meant a literal death match. Yes, Christie responded, where they both die. These are the people on our side, folks. Mm. Tell me that doesn't sound like a Democrat.
Mm.
Somebody took his donuts away and he's really, really cranky. I'll tell you what I'm digging into is this campus stuff. I've been talking about it all week. Mm-hmm. And if you go into independent media and look at, I mean, this keeps spreading. I mean, we're up to like 20 campuses now where they're talking about police. So ironically, me and our guys, we started looking at some of the channels where they're organizing because you can tell it's coordinated.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I found one of their organizing channels on Telegram. And so let me read you their message from last night and tell me if this doesn't just like wake you up. So this is from the Popular University for Gaza. It's got, you know, thousands of members, and this is part of how they're doing organizing. To the imperialist administrators and their running dogs, you have lit a flame you cannot hope to control. Every act of repression is a bucket of kerosene. Every lie fans the flames. Our movement will only grow stronger, sharpen its focus, and hone its attacks. Any repression we face is a fraction of what our brothers and sisters in Gaza and the occupied West Bank face every day. It is a price we are happy to pay if it moves Palestine and the world closer to liberation. Palestine has made the stakes clearer, our own unfreedom starker. There can be no return to normal. Not until total liberation is achieved. One group struggles within the imperial core. the other on the hostile terrain and its satellites and colonies. Onward to the students, arm link with the fighters. The world is ours.
These people think that they're all that in a bag of chips, boy.
I'm just saying, like, this movement is trying, and there's a lot of dumb college kids that are going along with it that don't even know what they're doing. The people leading this movement have very bad intentions.
Yes, they do. I know. Think of this with the youth. And I talked about this the other day. These people have heard this anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-white, anti-straight, anti-everything their entire lives.
Yep.
They're not like us. These people are 18, 20, 25. They're short entire life. They've been fed this indoctrination BS ever since the Obama administration, I'm telling you.
And I'm just saying, we're trending to Summer of Love 2.0.
Oh, it's going to be worse.
Right.
This one's going to be worse.
That's what I think. But I also think, and mark it down, I said it this week, I think that they're going to the conventions. I really
They are.
Oh yeah,
they definitely. Yeah, they've already lined it up.
Yeah, yep. Yesterday I played a video, and I guess I the people that put it together, they wanted you to know that not only are they here, they've been here, and they've been causing these issues.
Sometimes people learn with a punch in their mouth.
Yes, you know, sir. What I'm
saying? Sometimes after that, they wake up.
We're gonna have an intifada in every classroom. We're gonna have an intifada on every college campus.
Resistance by any means necessary.
They're on college campuses.
And they aren't talking about what's going on in Palestine.
No. And I'll tell you something else. They're not students.
Right. They're organizing young people, and they're trying to capitalize on this. They're using what's happening in Palestine to mobilize people, and they're showing them pictures, that kind of thing. But these people are talking language of overthrowing the USA, death to America.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the direction this is going.
And they're lying every time they open their mouth. They blame the Israelis for a Palestinian mass grave, and AOC echoed it.
Right.
After she praised the protesters.
Yeah, this is really troubling time. So, and some of this stuff, like, man, I'm going down these rabbit holes looking at some of these chat boards. And the number of people of young people that believe this stuff, it's like they're ready for the revolution. And I think the Democrat Party created something that they don't know what to do with. Because right now they're like, oh my God. My God.
Half the Democrats in Congress are Jewish.
Right.
You know, this is suicidal. I think they should go up.
American Jewish.
Yeah. Yeah. They need to knock these buildings down.
You remember the E. Jean Carroll case?
Yeah.
Yes.
Trump paid the money for the appeal, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So that he could appeal.
Yes. Yep. Totally un-American.
A federal judge has denied former President Donald Trump's request for a new trial in the civil suit brought by the writer E. Jean Carroll, who was awarded $83.3 million judgment by a jury. The judge also denied a request to strike the damages in the case, which Trump has caught entirely out of proportion with Carroll's reputational injury. Mr. Trump's argument is entirely without merit, both as a matter of law and as a matter of fact. U.S. Judge Lewis Kaplan wrote in an 18-page decision on Thursday. An attorney for Trump says that he intends to appeal the decision. Alina Haba says, we categorically disagree with Judge Kaplan's decision. It ignores long-standing constitutional principles and is a prime example of the lawfare raging against the country. We are confident that this decision will be overturned by the Second Circuit. I don't think they're going to overturn this thing.
I mean, maybe this is what we have to go through.
But right now, the 83 million is going to her, or does it wait until after it goes to this Third Circuit on Second Circuit?
I don't know.
Or if the Second Circuit doesn't do it, does it go to the Supreme Court?
Well, the Jeanne Carroll one, when you have a personal charge against you, I mean, you'll end up just appealing it up multiple things until it gets to the Supreme Court.
So it is probably going to the Supreme Court, too. One too. Man, the Supreme Court's like, God darn, we got another Trump case coming up here.
Well, it'll go to the New York Supreme Court because it's a civil matter.
Oh, well, there. Yeah, but after that, though, it will go to the Supreme Court in D.C., though, right?
Yeah, I'd have to look to see if they would take it up. That it's a civil matter, so even if they try to go to the Supreme Court, I don't know if they would take it. It doesn't impact his electability or any of that stuff. The Supreme Court gets a ton of cases that people request them to review that they don't review.
Was Kerry Lake's the same thing? The one that they didn't comment? That was civil?
Yeah, same kind of thing. You appeal to the Supreme Court, they review it, they decide, you know, what evidence we're going to see, or are we just going to dismiss it and kick it back? You know, it's kind of like that immunity claim. It's probably going to go 5-4 one way or the other, but they're probably going to kick it back to the district court to say, give some parameters. And actually, today, I got to go listen to this. I've been busy this morning, so I haven't, but just the clips coming out. One of the justices said, okay, so let me get this straight. If there's no presidential immunity, how come you guys didn't prosecute Barack Obama for drone striking and killing American citizens? Which he did. We were in a war, and they could charge him with murder. And it sounds like the attorney's like,
okay, which is a good argument. So if you strip Trump of your immunity, then the precedent is there. Now you can go after Barack Obama for doing the same thing.
But nobody will.
Right.
Right.
And I think the other thing is that they need to, and that's where this January 6th case we talked about, you can't selectively prosecute. And I think ultimately that's what's going to carry the day in the January 6th case. And I think in this one, I think that'll be the direction they go is, A, what are the rules for prosecuting a former president? Like, what are the parameters for when you could or couldn't? But B, how come no other president has been charged with crimes? Because there have been multiple documented instances of presidents committing crimes.
Just think of all the wars with no declaration of war.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty hairy. I think the only, you got to restart. Got to shut it all down. I don't think it's salvageable. I mean, you listen to the callers, you listen to people talking on social media. It's the trust is gone, man.
Yeah. Which is what they wanted in the first place. They wanted us to not trust in government. They want us not to trust in government. They wanted us to be dependent on government, not trust government. Dependent on government. They wanted us not to trust the courts. They wanted us not to trust what we see in front of our eyes. And that's basically what is happening. Whoever is in charge, man, and I still think the person that is in charge is overseas. I really do. I think America was sold out a long time ago.
I think he's at BlackRock.
That is the president of the United States. that dude is the president of the United States. Larry Fink is the president of the United States. He has more power than the president. I mean, come on now. He has more power than the president of the United States.
Well, I got to say, Democrats were right for years when they said our political system is going to be owned by large corporations. And here we are, folks. And, you know, I'm not saying I like Democrat policy prescriptions or their solutions, but there are like 5 or 10 ginormous corporations that run America. They own our politicians. They determine what happens. And they do it to make themselves richer. So yep. Some of these guys like Robert Reich's always out there like, oh, General Mills and shrinkflation and all that. He's not completely wrong. Like these companies are doing things to enrich themselves. They're controlling government regulators. I mean, look at COVID. How many small businesses went under?
You're right. They got rid of those small businesses.
And they didn't close one Walmart.
And they sure didn't. They sure didn't. As a matter of fact, they had people fighting over toilet paper at these Walmart.
Well, and how many restaurants are, you know, they just keep consolidating and consolidating, you know. Amazon, every time they open a new facility, they give them a super good tax break. I mean, Amazon doesn't exist without the post office.
They did that here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Amazon doesn't pay taxes.
Right.
Tesla don't pay taxes. Amazon don't pay taxes. A lot of those big ones don't pay taxes. Because and as long as they keep on filling the coffers of politicians, as long as they keep on doing the $6.5 million a year or whatnot and whatnot, you ain't got to pay nothing. There you go. Boom. There you go. We got to go. Get outside. Enjoy the weekend. Have y'all started watering your lawn yet?
Not yet. No, probably this weekend.
I never watered mine.
Oh, really?
What's wrong with you? Not my lawn. My garden, I do.
You don't water your lawn? What you got, rocks?
No, I got a nice lawn, front and back. It starts getting a little brown in late summer. But everybody else's does, too.
Okay. You going to water your lawn this weekend, J-Rod?
Well, I got an in-ground sprinkler, and I never fired up the back. It came with the house. So I got the front yard working, and I've run the front yard for several years, but I never ran the backyard because I had two big dogs, and they would trash the backyard. Uh-huh. So the two dogs that we had put down last year, I just got the rear sprinkler, so I have recovery project in my backyard. I got to seed everything, get the sprinkler going.
That's pretty hard on your gardener.
I'm a gardener. I wish I had a gardener.
The reason why I asked is because my grass is looking good. Grass is looking good. They came out.
Freaking rained 13 inches last month.
I know. Exactly. But I'm looking at the ground now, and it looked like the ground is cracking. You know? I'm like... Hmm. Man, should I?
You can see the ground through your lawn?
In spots. You can see it. And it looks like it's cracking. Like, I was like, yeah, I was like, should I? But it's not hot. It's not. And for the next couple of days, it's supposed to be in the low 60s. So I'm like, is that good water weather? Low 60s?
I never watered mine in my life. Well, I shouldn't say that. We had a drought one time.
But yeah, like that, today is 56. Right? No. You don't water at 56. 56 today, 64 tomorrow, 57 on Saturday. But 83.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Global warming kicking in?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's almost planting time.
Good gracious. 83 on Sunday, 90 on Monday.
Couple more days of this cold.
Good, I mean, it shot up there, didn't it? From, you know what? real quick, my final thought. Be careful. Cold weather is coming. And when I'm talking about cold weather, you're talking about on Sunday, 57 degrees, but on Saturday, 57 degrees as a high. On Sunday, 83 degrees. That caused, and actually, that should cause a major storm, too. Have y'all ever been through those storms where the temperature jumps like 20 degrees, but it also comes with major lightning and thunder? Yeah.
Right.
I don't see that. Well,
yeah, the one day where you turn your furnace on and the next day where you turn your air conditioner on, and then...
That happened a couple days ago.
Yep. And then the storm goes wild, baby.
Yeah, happened a couple days ago.
I lit my pellet stove a couple days ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because it was, damn, it's kind of cold.
Yeah.
I had the window open, you know, because I thought it was nice. Next thing you know, I'm like, man, I'm wearing a blanket, man.
That's the same thing that happened to me. I had my window cracked, and I'm laying there going, damn, it's cold in here.
You're right.
Another blanket.
That's the greatest.
I closed the window. I was like, no, Kat, you can't hang in the window today. It's cold outside. All right, we got to go. It's our Friday or Thursday. We hope that you have a beautiful weekend. Get out and enjoy the weather on Saturday and Sunday. If you need us, email us, wayne@waynedupree.com or you like to give out phone numbers and stuff. Let's see. Okay. you gonna love me for this one. Sorry, y'all. Sorry.
Something's brewing.
Yeah,
I was gonna say brewing. I don't know if we should be horrified or
Jason at Freedom from the
Press.net. Hook it up.
Jason at
Freedom from the Press.net.
.net. There you go. Hook him up, y'all. Hook him up. Let him know how much you love him. Then we got old Touch Bailey Jr.
Just give my social security number. Why not?
Right.
Single.
There's a thumbprint for you.
Single.
Yeah.
Live.com. Okay. Jason, give us your last thoughts. And then Hutch, give us your last thoughts. And we're going to roll out of here.
Guys, things keep boiling. And, you know, we talked about the overseas stuff. We talked about the America stuff. Best advice for everybody this weekend, unplug, touch grass. Tonight, we're going to go, or tomorrow, tonight, we're going to paint the grandbaby's room. Tomorrow, buddy's coming over to watch Dune 2, and then we're going to go to the dog park.
You like Dune?
I watched the first one, really liked it. The second one's available on Amazon or different... Yeah. Online thing, so he's
my
coming over.
Told me to watch it.
Yeah, we're gonna watch two, and I'm really excited. I thought it was a pretty well done series.
Okay.
So enjoy your weekend, though, folks. I mean, that's how you keep yourself grounded from all this crazy.
That's true. It's true. I mean, you sit there and stand in front of that computer all weekend, and you're burnt out on Monday.
Yep. Yeah.
Baseball season's on, and I'm glad to see. Don't know how long it's gonna last, but my division is competitive so far. And that's a change. It's good to see that. See you next week, folks.
Hey, man, I want to see how good you're doing.
Not that good, but it's all close.
Yeah, you're only three games out of first place.
And that's we're in fourth place.
Yeah. That's a weekend series right there.
Yep. Should have won last night.
How about you, Minnesota?
No, I ain't even looking at the Twins. The Twins are just going to break my heart. Like, I'm not looking at the record.
Oh, I know why.
What's that?
I know why you mean.
Yeah, what's their record? It's awful.
10-13.
That ain't that bad.
Guys, if you've been a Minnesota Twins fan your whole life, we are like the Cubs before they won. Like, we got our two World Series. We'll never see another Minnesota victory in our lifetime. I'm sorry. Vikings won't win the Super Bowl. Maybe the Lynx will win the WNBA.
Dang, man.
Like,
yeah. Well, it looks like the Yankees have hit a hot streak, but the Orioles are trying to stay with the Yankees right now. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, with that said, we're definitely out of here. Y'all have a great weekend. Don't forget, we broadcast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're praying for y'all. Y'all take care.